Good evening. This is the NLA Hams Net. It's held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We talk about anything NLA-ish and Hamish. Anyone is welcome to contribute, and I look forward to hearing from any of you. I am Terry from Colorado. My call sign is KI0RE. And I want to encourage you to make contact with other hams in your local area so that you can study even better than what I'm doing, giving on this call. Last week we talked about the phonetic alphabet. Does everybody go out and practice? Anybody want to try and do it in 10 seconds? I didn't think so. But it is good to know. What did you say?
No thanks.
I have done it before in 10 seconds, so let's just leave it at that. And then we talked about the readability, signal strength, and tone. So when somebody says, I read you 5x5, that means they're perfectly readable and they're fairly good signals. If somebody says, if you're talking tone or digital, you add something about how the signal is coming across. Is the CW clean and crisp? Is the digital dropping any packets or not? And page 6.3 goes through all of that and explains the RST system. Then we get down to power level. It's also nice to know how much power the other station is running. If a QRP, there's a whole set of Q codes, and I don't know where they are in the book right off, but you can find them on the net. I have them hanging up here. And QRP means low power. And so if you're running QRP or somebody says they're QRP, they're running low power. Or if it's said as a question, it's, do you want me to lower power? Or if it's said as a statement, can you lower power? So anyway, there's QRL, are you busy? QST is a general broadcast for all hams. QRO used to want to, must I increase power, must I decrease power? QSO means can I communicate with you, or I can communicate with you. So you will hear ham say, oh, I'm doing a QSO. Anyway, so that's what we're talking about when we say QRP at the bottom of page 6-3. I'm going on to the next page. Oh, and there's the Q signals on table 6-6. Dot 3, page 6-5. The FCC rules are quite clear that ham should use the minimum amount of power needed to make the contact. So once you establish contact, you back off on the power and see if anybody complains that they can't hear you. If they don't, leave the lower power, or if you can, go down another step. Some radios have two steps, either high or low. Others have high, medium, and low. And you may be able to just turn down your power another 5 watts. So try that, and then come back up to where you're crisp and clear, and you get a good RST from them. And they can understand you. You're perfectly readable, and you've got full quieting if you're FM. And then leave it there. As low a power as you use, as little power as you need. Why is that? Anybody want to hazard a guess?
Sure, you interfere less with other people in the local area, probably.
Oh, excellent. Thank you, Jan. That's exactly right. You tend not to hit that repeater on the next mountain over if you use a little bit lower power. And you're hitting the repeater you want, but there's one, maybe you're right between two that have the same tone and the same frequency that they're using. And by lowering your power just a little bit, you hit the one you want, you don't hit the one you don't want, and you don't interfere with anybody else. Locators, QTH, that means my location is, or QTH question mark means where's your location? And then it talks about the sidebar for the signal, the Q signals. I'm not going to go through them, but you can look them up on the net. I looked them up on the net. I printed them out. I put them on the side of my bookcase, and I don't use them very often because mainly they're good for code, but you can, some of the more common ones, QRP, QSH, or QTH, QCell, some of those, they are used in voice also. Okay. As you listen to amateurs discussing everything from the weather to sporting events, and they will, and they often talk about guns, hunting, fishing, and their rigs. And what? Hold on a second. Bailey, out. I wondered why that door got open. Out. Oh, I'm sorry. If you listen to what they talk to, they'll talk about just about anything. And that's kind of nice because you can have a conversation out on your way to work in the morning or your way home in the evening where you talk with a whole bunch of people. It's like sitting around a table and everybody talks about whatever subject they want. The conversation drifts this way and that way. And it's a lot of fun. So you get that when you can talk on the repeater and everybody else is on it, or lots of people are on it. I've talked on repeaters that had 8, 9, 10 people on them, and they were just rag-chewing in the morning. And then I talked on another repeater that every morning at 5 a.m. local, they get on, and you say everything you're going to say, and then they open it up, and the next person says everything they're going to say, and then the next person says their thing they're going to say, and then it comes back around to the original person. And they only go two times, and then they cut it off. And so it's usually done in 5-10 minutes. That's it. And that's using the radio at a regular time for a net, and they're establishing contact, and it's a good way to stay in touch. Let's see. No matter what the topic, indecent, obscene language is flatly prohibited. And I want to reinforce that very much. No cussing allowed. Just don't. If you find yourself getting upset for any reason, it's best just to turn the radio off and wait a while. And I can't offer you a better suggestion than that. I think that that should be done. While there is no official list of the dirty words you can't say on the radio or off the radio for a while, don't say on the radio, use good sense and extra helping of manners to avoid offending other hams. That especially includes racial and ethnic references. The hams also try to steer clear of provocative subjects that often create strong feelings, such as politics, religion, and sexual topics. So if you just have some friends and you're talking to them, there are certain things that you avoid. There are certain things you know you can talk about. Since you don't know who's listening or who's going to key up next, I would advise you to stay away from politics and religion and talk about the fishing trip you went on last week. Signing off, when your contact is complete, and you got to remember this, you have to identify yourself every 10 minutes or at the end. If you're not talking, you don't have to identify yourself. So even though you got all these people talking, and occasionally you double, you still have to identify your radio station. When your contact is complete, conclude is simple, as in real life, it's rude to just hang up. Hams have their own way of saying goodbye that can get to be somewhat involved. The best way to learn, like many other things, ham radio, is to listen. Here are a few of the terms you'll hear. They go separate ways. When they go, they're separate ways. Final, the last transmission is, I will be clear on your final. And I think that's the stupidest thing anybody could ever say, because somebody might say something. If you're waiting to I'll be clear after your final. What if they say something that you want to comment about? To me, that's a dumb thing. QRU, the Q signal, it means I have nothing more for you. That's kind of hanging up in my book, but at least you told them. Down the log, I'll see you later. yeah, that's fine. 73 is a code, And if you listen to a 7-3, it's da da di 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 da da. So it's the same thing in reverse. I'll say it again. The first number is 7, and the second number is a 3. Da da di 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 da da. That's 73, and that just became a universal thing that says best regards, good luck, you know, thanks for talking, I'm done. And then another one is 88. That's added for female operators. Originally, love and kisses. That's kind of what it means. But that's kind of reserved for female operators or somebody that you know and love that you're just away from. And mostly female operators are the only ones that use it. So just leave that one alone. And that's just courtesy. That's all that is. It's just a convention. And you don't have to follow it, but it leads to better communications when you do. Advising and assisting. The longest tradition of amateur radio is that of mutual assistance. A century ago, there were no radio texts or handbooks, so all hams were self-taught, relying on others to help them get on the air and learn how to operate. And I can't stress that enough. It's still that way. You get on and you listen for a while, and then you go ahead and tell somebody it's your first contact, and they will be just as nice as they can be. And you'll know something already about how to talk on the radio. So it's not a big deal. And you can go a long ways just being careful and being quiet. You got two ears, you got one mouth. Listen twice as much as you talk, and you won't have a problem. The same ethic is alive and well today. While as a new ham, you may be in need of assistance today, you'll be glad to help another ham tomorrow. And think about that. America is a place that I've found people appreciate the opportunity to serve. They want to help other people. And I can say that's especially true with hams. Now, you'll get some hams that are on this net or that net, and their main thing is to talk about whatever the subject of the net is, and they don't want anything going on. But if you have a price, like I heard a call from somebody the other day, and they said, I'm stuck. And he said, where are you? And he read off the coordinates. Well, I looked up the coordinates. He's on a Jeep trail. It's 8 o'clock at night. The sun's going down. He's on a Jeep trail in the middle of Colorado somewhere. And the closest road I could find was 10 miles from where he was at. And he was asking for help. And I didn't hear anything. Well, let me see if I can call Joe over here. It was, yeah, I'll be out there in about 30 minutes. He knew right where the guy was talking about. That's the kind of thing you hit when you got a ham. Now, they were members of the same club. That makes a difference because he knew the person face-to-face. I would. That's one of the reasons I encourage you to find your local club and establish some rapport with the ham so that you can do things like that. But it is a good backup. Oh, let's see. The most common mistakes made by any ham are ones of techniques, transmitting too soon or too late, using the wrong procedure, misunderstanding instructions, and so forth. While on the air, be sure to take a helpful tone in correcting an operator. In other words, like, you idiot, you should have turned off the blah, blah, blah key. No, that's not going to get you anywhere. Hey, KI0RE, you're too close to the mic. Back up or push back up from the mic or push the mic to the side so we can hear you a little better. You're overdriving your mic, and that's causing overmodulation in your radio. So we want to hear what you got to say, so try holding the mic in a different spot. And so you come back and you say, this is KI0RE. How's this sound? And they come back and said, that sounds great. So now you know where to hold your mic. They've just told you. Well, be that way. And it goes both ways. Be nice to the people who are doing things that you think are possibly not good. And also be nice when you receive some help. Because hams, as a rule, are very helpful and friendly. And maybe they don't get something right. That's okay. They try to help. So when somebody corrects you, be willing and be humble. Be willing to say, yes, I was wrong, you're right. Be willing to say, and give them the kudos that they deserve. And that doesn't mean if you think they deserve fish, that you should send them some fish. I think that anybody trying to help you should be admired for trying to help you. But that's my own personal feeling. Be kind. Be considerate. Treat that radio as if you're meeting somebody for the first time. You won't ever have any problems. There will be times when you're not sure your radio is working properly. You call up the radio. Well, hello, Colorado Connection Repeaters. This is KI0RE, and I'm listening. And you get nothing back. Nobody wants to talk right now. They heard you, but nobody wants to talk to you right now. When you need an on-the-air evaluation of your signal, that's called a radio check. Before asking for help, make sure you can clearly describe the problem and what kind of evaluation you need. If you can arrange for a friend to meet you on the air, that's the best method of all, because that friend will be waiting right there and they'll tell you, oh, I know you're working on the flimmer blotcher, and your flimmer blotcher sounds just fine right now. Your signal's great. And they say, okay, thanks. Or he says, boy, it sounds like you got an overmodulated flimmer blotcher, and so you take care of it. If friend's not available, you just make a general call. This is KI0RE, radio checked it. I get to the repeater, and somebody says, I read you full quieting. Sometimes they'll say full quieting. On HF, they'll tell you, they'll give you an actual RST signal report, reception, readability, signal strength, and then the T is your tone. And if you're not doing code, you don't have that. Because HF is mainly single sideband and AM, whereas UHF and VHF, which are very popular, and most of the repeaters are in that range, UHF and VHF, they're using FM. Well, if your AM or single sideband, which is a form of amplitude modulation without the carrier, you'll get noise on it as you modulate that signal. And because of that, you want to know that the other station is receiving your station. Do I need to increase my power? You might get somebody who says, I can barely hear you, KI0RE. Can you crank up your power just a little bit? So you crank up your power and you say, okay, how's this sound? He says, you're 5x9. You sound great, which means I get you full strength on my meter up to 0 dB and... your readability is perfect. I can understand what you're saying. But on FM, anytime there's FM, frequency modulation, you get what's called full quieting because of the capture effect. So an FM station, the way that does the handling of a signal, it picks the strongest signal that's on that particular frequency. And so if you have full quieting, that means you've got a pretty good connection, and they don't hear any noise in the background. And that's the nice thing about FM is, and why it's so popular in VHF and UHF, is you can hear somebody because it is FM, so it cancels out almost all the noise. Now, if you have a weak signal, like there was a day not too long ago where I had a low power, and I called in, calling net control, and they said, station calling net control, can you up your power or find a better location? I can't understand what you're saying. So I was making it. He was getting, he could tell somebody was talking, but he couldn't hear what was being said. Well, I quickly went down, upped my power, and then called in to net control again. And he heard me just fine, because now I had control of the repeater. The repeater was hearing me, and it blocked out all other stations except mine and passed that along to net control through the repeater. So it works. And so when you say, you know, you can use a readability thing and say, oh, you're 3x3, but when you're going through a repeater, which is what you do mostly on VHF and UHF, the second 3 doesn't mean much, because the repeater is always putting out 30 or 25 or 50 watts, always. And so wherever you're at, if you didn't move and they didn't up their power, you're still going to get full quieting on the repeater when it comes in. The signal strength is going to be way up there. But your signal into the repeater is not going to be very strong. And so the repeater is kind of bending its ear and trying to listen to you. But you're getting static in there and maybe can't hear you. You up your power, you get full quieting. That means they don't hear any kind of noise or spark or crackling or spiking on the signal. It's quiet except for your voice. And they hear it, and they hear it quite clearly. So I know I had talked a lot about that, but it's important to understand what's happening. There's two things that you got to remember. One is it's a two-way communication. It often involves a repeater, and you need to be able to hear them too. So you got to listen real close, because maybe they're coming back to you, but you're not hearing them on the repeater. And the other is you need to learn, every ham needs to learn how to unkey. I don't know how many times I've been listening to somebody on the radio. I knew exactly what they were going to say next, but they didn't, and they're looking for the word, blah, 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 you know. Oh, I've got to move these toilets down. They're up at, where is this place? This is, you know, they're walking through it, and they have no idea that we talked about it about 2 minutes ago, right before he got on. We know where the toilets is, and somebody's coming to get it. But he's sitting there trying to find out all the information. Better to unkey, let net control tell him we have the location at County Road 75 and County Street 2.5, whatever it is. We already know where it is. Someone's on the way. That's a lot faster, a lot cleaner, and it doesn't tie up the channel or the frequency as much as you trying to fumble on the map, figure out where you are. That should all be done before you key up. And when you're going to do something like that, it might be the first time it is reported. It might be the third time it's been reported. You just happen to switch the repeater's on this new repeater because you came over a hill in the middle of the course or the whatever you're following. And you want to call and tell them, so you key up and you say, hey, net control, these toilets, I think, are in the wrong position. And then you unkey. And they say, okay, where are the toilets? Now he's asking for information. And it gives you a chance to look up at the street sign, figure out where you are, key up and say it. And that brings up another thing, and I guess there's three things. When you're ready to key up, first go through what you're going to say, who you're talking to, think about your audience, and then form those words in your head. I'm going to tell them about 1, 2, 3, 4. Write them down if you have to. And then when you key up, go through it as quickly, succinctly as you can, but keep it clear. The keep it clear part is often difficult because people will have dangling modifiers or they'll start talking about this rider that they saw 5 minutes ago and they're describing that, but the net control thinks they're talking about somebody right now, and it can get all kinds of confused. Use short sentences, you know, to use your common sense. Use short sentences. Use direct sentences. This writer fell down. Bib number 127. There you go. You just communicated a wealth of information. These toilets are in the wrong place at County Road 75 and County Street 2.5. Okay. They know everything they need to know right there. And if they need to know more, they can ask for more. That's much better than trying to get it all straightened out. Well, I saw this wall ago, and we're at this junction of the roads, and there's some toilets here, and they're supposed to be down the road a piece. And we were wondering if maybe you can get somebody up here to change them. Okay, I just spent 15 seconds explaining a situation, and they have zero details, because that could be coming from anywhere in the entire county. Much better to say, Net Control, I'm at County Road 75 and County Street 2.5, and I have some toilets, and I think they're supposed to be down at the rest station about a mile south. Boom. Now that was much more effective. And Net Control, if they don't understand or they didn't copy it or they didn't write it, couldn't write it down right there because they were talking themselves, they can ask you for a clarification. So be distinct. Think about what you're going to say, and then say it succinctly, but with plenty of information or just enough information to where they get it. And if they need clarification or they need more information, they'll ask you. That's a much more efficient use of your radio frequencies than just about anything else you can do. Do I have any questions? We're getting towards the end. I got about 5 more minutes, and then I want to wrap it up. So anybody have any questions for this week? Okay, there's talking on 6-7 at the top. If a friend's not available, you may need to make a general call. One of the things that they often do is when it's open, there's nobody using the repeater, you just call and say, this is KI0RE, listening, and that's all you say. Now, anybody wants to talk to you, can. If you need something, you can call back and say, I need something. If somebody wants to talk to you, they'll call you and talk to you. They'll say, I didn't catch the call sign. Who was that? Give you call sign again. Oh, this is KI0RE, and I'm just tooling down the road towards Fort Collins. How you doing? And they'll say, I'm doing great. Okay, KI0RE, I am KDW or KD0WGQ, whatever it is. And they'll say, I'm up in Longmont, and I was heading south, so maybe we'll cross each other. You going down 287? And you just continue like that. It's just a lot of fun to make contacts and know that there's other people out there. But you can start a conversation by saying, on a dead repeater, it's quiet, this is KI0RE listening. Now, if there's a conversation going on, listen for that gap. And they might even say, okay, let's see if there's anybody waiting out there. Anybody who wants to join the conversation, call now. That's your time to call right there. If they don't say that and there's just a 10, 20-second gap, go ahead and say this KI0RE. That's all you need. You just told them by giving your call sign that you want to join the conversation. The next person who is about to talk will say KI0RE. Go ahead. And then it's your floor. You say whatever you're going to say. You can join the conversation, make a comment, or just ask for directions because you're confused and you're lost or whatever. I don't know that anybody's ever lost. They know about where they are on the map. They just need some help getting directions to where they got to go. So it's there's two aspects of that. Let's see. If you're asked to give a radio check, listen carefully and respond with detailed information. Distortion of voice signals could be microphone or RF feedback. It talks about, you know, things that could make it sound funny. Antenna comparisons are the next most common testing need. Hams are always experimenting or replacing antennas in search of a better signal. The same procedure applies for radio checks. Pay attention to the details and don't hesitate to relay your observations to the testing station. I had an antenna once, and it would fold down so I could go in parking garages without getting it knocked off, which I've had that happen too. But I'd fold it down, and sometimes I'd forget to fold it back up. And so I'd be driving down the road, and I'd call in and say, this is KI0RE listening. And somebody would come back and say, station, I couldn't understand who you were. And then I suddenly remember I didn't put my antenna back up. It's laying down parallel to the top of the roof of the car. So I pull the car over, I pop the antenna back up, and then I give them a call back, say, it's KI0RE. Oh, that's much better. You got a good signal now. Let's see. I'll do this violation. Noting violations. Hams have a long-standing tradition of self-policing, and that's valuable and important, and I want to make everybody a chance. I want to encourage you to watch for things that maybe people shouldn't do and be thinking about it. That's why that call sign's in there, to help each other play by the rules. Part of the tradition is notifying each other of apparent infractions. You may also come across a station violating amateur service rules, such as transmitting on voice on a CW band segment. Don't commit an infraction yourself. Contact the station by email, mail, or phone. And you can get anybody's, if you got a call sign, you can get everything else you need to know. You can get their address. If they've left their phone number, you can get their phone number. You can get their email address about 90% of the time. And you send them an email. You don't come back and say, you're violating. This is only for CW on this frequency. What have you just done? You've just committed the same violation. Contact station by email, however it goes. The AWR has also established an official observer, OO, program that relies on technically skilled hams. The OOs keep an ear on the bands, often finding problems before they become a problem for other hams. And I have received messages saying, you did this at this time on this frequency. And I think back, and I did. And I didn't realize I was on the wrong frequency. And I send back an apology. And it happens. Everybody's going to make some mistake like that. Try not to let it happen. Try to be the best ham that you can be. Okay, we're going to stop it right there at the bottom of page 6-7. And we'll pick it up with logging and confirming contacts, because that's a big deal. Are there any questions before I leave? Or, Jan, did you want to say anything?
No, I really don't have any comments for this evening.
Okie dokie. This has been the NLA Hems Net. My name is Terry from Colorado. I am KI0RE. Look me up on the net, and you can find everything about me. We have this net. This net meets every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we talk about things NLA-ish and hamish. I appreciate all the input, and I appreciate for everybody listening. And I hope that y'all have a great evening. This is KI0RE, and we're clear. The net's closed.